minutes of time to Acts chapter number 24. Acts chapter number 24. Praise the Lord. And we will begin verse number 10. The Bible says, "Then Paul, after that the governor had beckoned unto him to speak, answered, For as much as I know that thou hast been of many years a judge unto this nation, I do the more cheerfully answer for myself, because that thou mayest understand that thou art yet but 12 days since I went up to Jerusalem for to worship. And they neither found me in the temple disputing with any man, neither raising up the people, neither in the synagogues nor in the city. Neither can they prove the things whereof they now accuse me. But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they called heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets." Amen. I simply want to bring this thought to you here this morning. Amen. Act or actual? Act or actual? Amen. Praise God. Let's ask the Lord to help us here today. Father, we love you and we thank you for your word and for your spirit. I pray, God, that you would help us here this morning. I pray, God, that you would touch us, that revelation would come into this place today, that you would minister, that you would minister, that you would minister in this house, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. We need that ministering to us today. I pray that your anointing would come in, destroy in every yoke of bondage, and we'll be quick to give you the praise and the glory. In the lovely name of Jesus Christ, amen and amen. Praise God. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Amen. My wife was just, believe she was reading to me something yesterday. I didn't have her send it to me, and I don't know that I really remember it, but it stated something along this line. You know, the Bible was given unto us many, many years ago, hundreds, couple of thousand years ago, the Bible was given unto us. And the Bible specifically states that it is not to be added to nor taken away. The Bible was given to us so that it could and would be able to change our lives. But in reality, what we have in society in our generation is individuals, multiple individuals that want to change the Bible to fit their lives. And then we wonder why we are in the situations that we are in. We blame everything in life on somebody else, something else. But if we would get back to the basics, which is the Bible, amen. And instead of looking at it as just a good book, as just a good moral book, let's look at it as what it is, and that it is the way. It is the roadmap that is going to get us to heaven. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. It's the roadmap that's going to get it to heaven. You can take one of those Rand McNally's old-time atlases and such, and you can say, and I've used this here before, but you can say, you know what, I'm interested in getting to Chicago, and you can open that map up and you can figure out what interstates that you need to be able to get there, and you can say, well, I don't like what it tells me, and so I think that I'm going to adapt it, and instead of turning east up there on I-70, I'm going to turn west on I-70, and I'm going over to I-25 because I like 25 better than I like 35, and I'm going to go south on 25 instead of, and then when you wind up somewhere down in New Mexico or Texas or something like that, and you're going to get upset at the map, when the simple fact is that we didn't obey the map. We didn't do what it told us to do to get there, and then we wonder why that we're not there. Praise the Lord. And so I said all of that to say this, that there is a thought, there is a mentality that in the generation that we live in, and this saying is such that, well, that was for them back in the old days. That was for them way back then, and we don't need it today. I just simply tell you here this morning, amen, praise God, unashamedly, that if we would just go back to that good old book, the Bible, amen, that has the keys to life in it, and began to live accordingly, I am of the persuasion that this world could adapt to a better place. Now, is this world going to go back to that away? I very seriously doubt it. For the Bible says, as it were in the days of Noah, so shall it be. And as it were in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, so shall it be. It's going to get worse, and it's going to get worse, but the answer is still the same. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Praise God. I am so thankful for the Word of God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Nobody wants to hear the real Bible these days. Amen. They want to hear it according to what they have conjured it up to be. Amen. Because why? Because it convicts them. It condemns them. They want to change it to philosophize their world, their current life or such. Amen. But if we would just go back to it, amen, some things would be a whole lot better in our days. Praise the Lord. And so we come to this story, this text here this morning, and we read about Paul being called before the governor, and he is being accused of heresy. He is being accused of being a stir of sedition, and Paul answers for himself cheerfully, and he said, you know, it's just 12 days ago since I went up to Jerusalem to worship, and during those 12 days, they didn't find me in the temple disputing with any man. I was not arguing. I was not debating. I was not in discussion with such. I was not raising up people, or simply I was not aggravating people. I wasn't arguing with them. I wasn't making people mad. I wasn't causing protest. I wasn't doing any of that thing. He said, neither did they find me in the synagogues doing those things. They didn't find me in the city. And he said, neither can they prove the things whereof they now accuse me. And he goes back to say that it was just 12 days since he went up to Jerusalem to worship. He said, I had a mindset. I had a plan. I had an agenda. And that agenda was that I was going forward to worship. Now, let me just tell you what had happened. Here is a man by the name of Apostle Paul, and he is going to Jerusalem, and there in Jerusalem, he is actually worshiping God, and that right there is the problem, because he doesn't have just an act of worship. It's not just a form of worship, but there is actually a lifestyle that Paul has. Amen. And what it is that his lifestyle is condemning those that are around him. They take offense by who Paul is. And he said, I'm not in there. I'm not debating them. I'm not opening up scripture. I'm not telling them, well, the Bible says and scripture says. He said, you're not going to find that. Nobody is going to be a witness and say that I was in there raising up people and causing people to be angry. Amen. I was not in there stirring up sedition. I was not disputing any man. I was not in their synagogues making fun of them. I was not in the city rioting and protesting. I had an agenda. I went to Jerusalem to worship. And that's what their problem is. Their problem is I don't fit in
their mold. I don't fit in their ways. And their ways are very meticulous. The Bible even speaks about how that the Jews were in the times of Jesus, and they had their ways. And Jesus's way, the way that he actually was, it condemned them. And being who he was, they sought to kill him and to destroy him because he actually was a Christian. Can I just say it like that today? Praise the Lord. I'm telling you, he was actually a Christian. He wasn't just professing to be a Christian. He was not just having a form of it about him, but there was something that was about him that condemned him. Amen. Condemned those. And you don't see Jesus oftentimes being the initiator of the individual that would stir up sedition and arguments and such. We find one time that Jesus went into their synagogues and he took a whip with him and he drove them out because he said, "It is written that my house shall be called the house of prayer, but you have made it into a den of thieves." In other words, it actually wasn't the house of prayer. It had a sign on the outside. It had a facade of what it was. But it really was not the house of prayer. It was a place where the richer were getting richer. Amen. The rich were getting richer. It was a place where people were making money on the inside. It was a place where people come that they could feel good about themselves. It was a place that at an appointed time they could come have a feast there and practice the Feast of Tabernacle or the Feast of Pentecost or whatever that was going on at that time, and that it would soothe their mind and their conscience, and they would be okay because that they had attended. But actually what was happening there was nothing like the Lord had designed it to be. And so the Lord put out those that were, amen, making a mess of things, and he said, "This place shall be called a house of prayer." And in doing so, he made them mad to where they sought to kill him. And things have not changed in Paul's day. Paul goes to Jerusalem, to the house of God, to worship. But because that he doesn't fit in their mold, and because that he's not doing it their way, because that his lifestyle is convicting them, because that his lifestyle is condemning them, they've got a problem with Paul. He's too good for us. He's holier than thou. He thinks that he's better than all of us. And Paul is saying, "Look, all I want to be is a Christian. All I want to do is what is right. All I want to do is be found favorable in the Lord's sight." And so he tells the accusers, "You're not going to find me, amen, that I was down in the temple disputing any man, raising up heresies and upsetting people. I wasn't in the synagogues making fun of them. I wasn't doing things. I wasn't in the city stirring up debate and such. They cannot prove these things that they are accusing me of. But there is one thing that I confess, and that is that after the way which they call heresy." Now I want to stop right there. And I want to point out something that Paul was really worshiping. That's what he said. He said, "I went 12 days ago to Jerusalem to worship." And what is happening is people have redefined what worship is. And they're saying, "Paul, that's not worship. That's heresy." And that is, they have redefined what worship is. And so they're calling what really is happening, what worship actually is, they're calling that heresy. And Paul is stating, he said that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets. What Paul is stating is, I'm still in the book. I'm still doing what the law says to do. I'm still doing what the prophet said to do. They're the ones that have changed the definition. They're the ones that have changed what is supposed to happen in church. They're the ones that have changed the mentality. They have redefined it. And just because that my lifestyle convicts them does not mean that I am wrong. I went up to worship, and that's what I am doing. Praise the Lord. And they wanted to kill him. And now here we are in 2023. And the old song says, some things never change. Some things never change, because there are those that are around us. There are those that are about us that want to mock, that want to point their fingers, that want to accuse us of some type of sedition, of some type of heresy. A man that wants to put upon the term that we are heretics because that we worship a certain way, because that we act a certain way, because that we still hold, amen, to the laws and to the prophets, amen, because we still identify with the apostles. And the Bible said that we are built upon the foundation of the apostles, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Amen. I cannot help it if our life condemns them. I cannot help it if our worship convicts them. We've got to be obedient and faithful to the law and to the prophets. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And there are those that want to point their finger and say, you're just goody two shoes. You're just holier than thou. You're just too good for all of us. You're so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. Amen. It's because that they are condemned by our lifestyles. I'm not here to promote that we are perfect. I'm not here to, amen, to try to insinuate that we've got it all together. But what I am here today is to say, if there's anybody in the house that you have found, amen, a worse life, and that you have had harder times, and that God has not been good to you because that you joined the church, because that you began to live for him. If there's anybody here today that can stand up and say, ever since I came to this church, my life has been absolutely horrible, just go ahead and stand up and say, here I am. Oh, but you find that the Lord has been good to us. As a matter of fact, God has been better to us than we deserve it. I don't deserve goodness. I didn't deserve mercy. I didn't deserve grace. And somehow, beyond my comprehension, beyond my understanding, he gave me grace. He gave me mercy. He broke the addictions of this world. He gave me a life worth living for. He gave me a family that I'm proud of. Hey man, he has given me hope. He's given me joy. He's given me love. He's given me peace. I have no desire to go live another way. I have no desire to go into the world and to live like them and profess to be something. This isn't an act for me. This is actuality. I'm not just here to put on and to have a form of worship. I want to be a true worshiper. Oh, let's love him today. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God, praise God, praise God. That is why there are assemblies throughout this area, this state, this nation, this world. There are assemblies that will be packed to the hilt, and they claim that because they have great numbers that they are right. But yet I just want to say very quickly of how that they do not line up with the Word of God. Praise God. My Bible says you cannot love the world, neither the things of the world, because if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. That's what the Bible says. That's what the Bible says. That's not just made up. But there in 1 John chapter number 2, he spoke and he said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now listen to what he defines as the love of the world. This is not what I define it. This is not what the church defines it. But this is what God defines it as. He said, for all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, and it is not of the Father, but it is of the world. Amen. That's why, amen, we do not want to be caught up in the love of the world. For all that is there is the lust of the flesh. That's the generation that we live in. I want this, I want that, I want this, I want that. And they're not worried about vows. They're not worried about commitments. They can be married, and because that they want somebody else, they just go have somebody else. They don't have to be married, but because that they lust after it, they just go have whatever they want to have. That's not of the world. It's of sin. It was wrong back then. It's still wrong today. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the eyes. I deserve this, or I want to see this. I want to, he said, it's not of, amen, of God. It's of the world, the pride of life. Oh, I could preach for a long time here right now, but I'm going to put a halt on that, and I'm going to come visit it in 1 week and a night. Amen. Next Sunday night, I'm going to deal with it. Praise God. But the pride of life, hallelujah. Amen. Jesus said it's not of the Father. It is of this world. You cannot be involved in the lust of the flesh. You cannot be involved with the lust of the eyes. You cannot be involved in the pride of life and still have the love of the Father on the inside. God is not just a partner. Amen. God is, amen, a relationship. God is forever. God is eternal. Amen. God's not going to shack up with sin. You don't get to go do what you want to do and then come running back into the church and have an act of worship. Amen. He said it doesn't work like that. You wouldn't allow your spouse to go running out into the honky-tonks and do what they want to and then come jump back in bed with you. You wouldn't allow all of these other things to go on your life and then you just have to come back and they all come back and you just accept it. God doesn't accept it either as well. I'm telling you, that's the problem with America. Amen. God is nothing more than a band-aid to their disease. And their disease is a horrible disease. Their disease is a life-killing disease. It's called the disease of sin. You can't go out and fellowship with sin. You can't go out and commit sin. You can't go out and harbor sin and then come running back into the house of God and pretending that everything is okay. He said, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Don't touch it. Don't handle it. That's what he said in Colossians chapter number 2. Touch not, taste not, handle not. Hallelujah. You can't do these things. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and I will receive you. I will receive you. We're living in a generation where church has become just a motivational speech. Living in a generation where you go to church and we come to church to be encouraged. But there's an issue. There is a very distinct difference. And that distinct difference is we come to the house of God to worship, because that it is actuality. And so I can't help it if my life condemns them. I can't help it if my life convicts them. I'm in love with Jesus Christ. I know where he has brought me from. I have no desire to go do the things of this world. I don't have a desire to go overwhelm myself with the loves and with the addictions of this world. But they want to go out and they want to drink alcohol. They want to get messed up in their mind. They want to be drunks. They want to live that away. And then they want to come to the house of God and smile and everything's okay. Everything is not okay. That's an act of worship. They want to go out and they want to do drugs. They want to go out and they want to be immoral. They want to involve themselves in all kinds of illicit things. And then they want to find a church that'll just accept them for who they are. God says, I don't want you for who you are. I want you for who you're going to be. Who you're going to be. That's what he said. He said, come out from among them, and then I will receive you. He didn't stop there. He made promises. He said, and you will be my sons and my daughters. And then he goes on and he says, therefore, having these promises, these are promises that God made to us. He said, therefore, having these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves. Cleanse ourselves. We're in 2 Corinthians chapter number 7, verse number 1 now. Let us cleanse ourselves. And he tells us what to cleanse ourselves from. He said, let us cleanse ourselves from all the filthiness of the flesh. He still calls it filthiness. Filthiness. He said, if you want these promises, if you want to be able to look at me and call me Lord, if you want to look at me and call me your heavenly Father, then you need to cleanse yourself from all of the filthiness of the flesh. If you're not interested in cleansing yourself from the filthiness of the flesh, God's not interested in being the promise giver. He said, oh, I'll come through. I'll help you. I'll give you these promises, but you're going to have to do some things too. Why is it that I always have to do everything? Why is it that I always have to accept you as you are? Why is it that I always have to be second? Say, oh no, you're not. You're first until such and such or whatever shows up and whatever happens, and then all of a sudden I get forgot about. That's what the prophet said back in the Old Testament. Amen. The Lord was speaking. He said, "Yep, my." He said, "Can a maid forget her ornaments? Is somebody that's going to clean the house? Are they just going to show up and like, oh, I forgot the broom. I forgot the mop. I forgot the detergent. I forgot the glass cleaner. I forgot everything. I just showed up." He said, is a maid going to forget? He said, or is a bride going to forget her attire? Is a bride going to show up on wedding day and say, wow, I didn't expect all of you to see here. Say, where's your wedding dress? I forgot it. You know, that's not going to happen. He said, yet my people have forgotten me days without number. And so the Lord says, look, if you want the promises of me, then there's some things that you're going to have to do. That's what Matthew said. Matthew chapter number 1, verse number 21. When the angel of the Lord was speaking to Mary, the angel said, you're going to have a son, and you're going to call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Not in their sins, but from their sins. In other words, your sins have bound you up. Your sins rule and dictate your life. And God is interested in coming into your life and saving you from your sins. God wants to pull you out of that mess. And God wants to put you on a better foundation. But your sins have got to stay over there. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all the filthiness of the flesh and the spirit. the spirit. You got to cleanse your spirit. You got to get it out of your spirit. You got to get it out of your life. You got to get it out of your spirit. Amen. We're just taking this at the just the cream of the top. We're just taking it off the top right here. Amen. You need to get some things out of your spirit. Amen. That things that's in your spirit. Amen. Begin to violate you. Amen. Those things get down into your heart and begin to produce emotions. Begin to produce bitterness and anger and wrath and all these other things. You got to cleanse these things out of your spirit. I don't have time to go back into Leviticus chapter 1 through 5. Amen. But there were two offerings that was made there. There was the sin offering and there was the trespass offering. One offering was for the fruit of sin. The other offering was for the root of sin. Amen. There is the fleshly output of the spiritual input. Amen. What the spirit begins to produce, you've got to cleanse yourself so that it doesn't produce that any longer. You need to cleanse yourself of the flesh, the things that you are doing. But you need to also separate yourself from the things that cause you to do those things. You need to get rid of the fruit of sin, but you need to dig into your heart and get the root of sin out of it. He said, cleanse yourself from all the filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting holiness in the sight of God. Amen. These are the things that we need to do. We have got to be actual Christians. We've got to be actual worshipers. We can't just come and put on the act of worship, but we've got to come and we really need to get involved and to worship God. Paul says, it's just my lifestyle. This is just who I am. I can't help it if they've defined it as heresy. I can't help it if they've defined it as holier than thou. I'm not trying to be holier than thou. I'm just trying to live according to the way that God would have me to live. I am actually a Christian. I'm not just acting like a Christian. I don't have a form of godliness denying the power thereof. I want to be a Christian. Praise God. Give me just a few more minutes here this morning. Amen. Jesus said that the people draw nigh unto him with their mouth. That is an act. He said, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is so far from me. Their heart is so far from me. In actuality, he said, they have a good act, but in actuality, that's not who they are. They got a stunt double. That just came to me. Sorry. They got a stunt double. Here they are. On that television. Here they are on that thing. And they trying to portray to you that they are everything, that they are completing, they're doing all those stunts and stuff. Anybody ever met a stunt double? I know Marcus and I have. We met Micah. Yeah, we all met a stunt double. He was a stunt double in Rambo. And he was a stunt double in Karate Kid. And doing something. He was very, very proud of himself too. And he had pictures. He had pictures of himself on his walls everywhere in the shop that we went into of him doing all of these tricks and stuff. And he said, yeah, he said there were people that were trying to do this one. They were skiing, what does he say, barefooted or on boot? He had his boot. Yeah, he had his boot on. He's skiing on his boot. He had his boot out there, and he's skiing. He's got a .45 in the other hand, and he's shooting at everybody going down the river. And he said, I nailed it. But they wanted you to think that that was Sylvester Stallone doing that, when in reality, Sylvester Stallone was too weak to do that, wasn't good enough to do that, I guess we'd have to say. So he had to have a stunt double. Somebody that if they break a few bones or something else like that, no big deal, I'll heal. People got a stunt double in church. They send their stunt double to church to worship. And they actually pull it off. While they themselves so full of sin and vileness and all that other stuff, In actuality, they stay home. Now, we know that you don't have some type of twin that's showing up and stuff, but what we are talking about is that the same person that you are on the outside is not the same person that shows up on the inside of church. I just have a question. Is this an act or is this actuality? Is the same person that's reflecting your image at work? Is that the same person that's showing up at church, that's got his hands in the air raised and worshiping? Or is that person that's at work that's got a reflection in the mirror that wants to cuss somebody out and wants to get mad and wants to do all those other stuff, is and you send a stunt double to church? Is the person that's out there in the sacredness of their room in a hidden area and viewing things that they ought not to be viewing and stuff like that, is that the same person that's showing up to worship, or is it a stunt double? Paul said, I'm just telling you who I am. I'm not trying to be something that I'm not. I'm not trying to be something more than what the Word of God says. I'm just going back and I'm just doing things according to the law and to the prophets. This isn't my problem. It's their problem. They're the ones that's redefining everything, and they've taken this whole thing now and they've defined it as heresy. He said, so I'm telling you that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers. Praise God. Praise God. That's why they can be so extremely perverted on the outside, but on Sunday morning, all of a sudden, they become sanctimonious. And they have to redefine what worship is. And then people that are actually trying to live right, trying to do right. And that's all I'm here today to tell you is we're not perfect, but I promise you we're trying our best. We don't wear a t-shirt around that says, I'm better than you. We don't have a cape that flutters in the wind that says, holier than thou. All we're simply doing is trying to live according to the law and the prophets. Well, you're just old school because the law nowadays says that you don't have to get married. You can just live together. That's not what the Bible says. I don't care what the government approves, disapproves, vetoes, writes in as law, whatever it is. I don't care. Just because they do it doesn't make it okay. It's still sin. It's still sin. But because that this convolutes, convicts, and condemns their life, they want to point their fingers at somebody that is actually trying to live right instead of it being just an act. Christian on Sunday, pervert on Monday. Christian on Sunday, alcoholic on Friday. Christian on Sunday, drug addict Monday. But yet it's my fault. Yet it's the church's fault because we're too condescending. We're not condescending. People oftentimes come with problems and dilemmas and stuff. People that have come and they have been morally bankrupt, physically abused, totally messed up in life.
and they finally find somebody that looks like they may have it together. And they reach out and they say, you know, what is it about you? You know, there's just something about your lifestyle that is different. It's not because I had a shirt on that says, I am a Christian. No, it's just a lifestyle. And they come up and they start asking questions. And you know what we do? We invite them to church. You know why? Because church is what changed our lives. Church is what helped us. Church is what pulled us out of the gutters and gave us hope. Took the dope and gave us hope. Church is what gave us a life worth living for. There's people in this place today that you had suicidal tendencies before God found you. Hooked on drugs, alcohol, all kinds of things before you got to the church. You came into the church and you were busted. You were wrecked. You were messed up. You didn't have hardly two nickels to rub together. And God reached down and began to multiply and began to provide and began to raise you up. God began to put His blessings upon you. And here you are today and you're in the church and your family's in the church and things are going well and stuff. And now somebody reaches out and says, oh, you must have it all together. What are you doing? I don't really have it together. I'm just trying to follow the law and the prophets. I'm just trying to be obedient to the Bible. I'm just trying to live my life according to God's holy word. I'm just trying to live right, trying to do right, trying to be right. I want what you have. I want what you have. And they cry out, and we witness to them. We teach them a Bible study. And then they come to the church, and they hear about it. They see about it and stuff. One or two things have got to happen. They accept it or reject it. And friends, some of the worst people that I have seen, that when they reject truth, they walk out. When they came and say, you look like you've got it all together. Yesterday, according to you, I had it all together. But when we went to the actual place of worship and we showed you that we actually worship. Yesterday I had it all together, but today, yeah, that's heresy. And then all of a sudden they make fun of everything. And that's where Paul was this day. Paul said, I'm just living according to the law of the prophets. They're the ones that's redefined. They're the ones that have messed up worlds, and all of a sudden they didn't have any answers yesterday, but today they've got all the answers, and I'm the problem. And the problem is, I'm not an act. It's not an act of worship. It's actually worship. I don't live one way on the outside and a different way on the inside. And Paul said, that's their problem. And so, yes, I confess that after the way which they have decided to call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers. Let's stand here this morning. And so I just want to bring it back to this church's attention. Number one, don't ever forget where God brought you from. Don't ever forget it. Because the Bible says that if you ever go back out there into the world, it's going to be worse. Worse. Don't ever forget how good God's been to you. But let me just tell you, God wasn't good to you so that He could hold it over your head and beat you down. God was good to you because He's got something better for you. We're only tasting now of what is to come. This is only the earnest of the inheritance. It's going to be a lot better. And He said, and look, this is all you got to do. Cleanse yourself. all the filthiness of the flesh, all the filthiness of the spirit. Perfect holiness in the sight of God. Come out from among the world. Be ye separate. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. He said, that's the way that it is. He said, don't be as the Pharisees. He said, they were hypocrites. 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 I want to be a true worshiper. And a true worshiper is going to be true in here. And it'll go with them on the outside, out there. Amen. And so, my question and my statement today, is this an act or is it actual? Is this really who you are or is this just an act? Is this just a Sunday morning, Sunday night act? Or is this a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday lifestyle? We cannot help what others say about us. We cannot help how others define and change the definition of. All we have to do, all we can do, is stay in the Word. Say, how did all of it happen? I'm going to tell you how it all happened. It happened just like what today is being referred to. Today is Pentecost Sunday, where the Feast of Pentecost culminates. 40, 50 days after resurrection. The Bible said in the book of Acts, chapter number 2, that when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. They were of one mind. They wanted something different. They didn't want just a form. They didn't want to act. They wanted a change. And Jesus told them, he said, if you go to Jerusalem and wait for the promise, you'll receive it. And so that's what they're doing. They're waiting for the promise. And the Bible said that when the day of Pentecost was fully come, there they were waiting for the promise, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all that were there in that house. It filled all with the Holy Ghost. And they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. And they came out of that upper room completely changed. It was not an act. It actually happened. And there were devout men, religious men like Paul has faced in our text in Acts 24. That began to mock and say, these men are full of new wine. But Peter stood up with the 11 and he said, these are not full of new wine, as ye suppose. These are not drunk, as ye suppose, seeing it's but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel, that in the last day, saith the Lord, I will pour out my spirit. And he began to preach to those religious people. And when he was done preaching, they were convicted because they saw that this is not an act. This is actual. And those religious people had a need, and they lifted up their voice and they said, men and brethren, what must we do? The Bible said in Acts chapter number 2 and verse number 38, then Peter said unto them, repent. You're going to have to change your lifestyle. If you're going to be actual, you're going to have to change your lifestyle. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourself from this untoward generation. Now, when he said, save yourself from this untoward generation, he didn't say, go figure it out as far as you get to decide what's salvation and what's not salvation. It's save yourself. In other words, you have to do it. Mama can't do it for you. Daddy can't do it for you. Nobody can do it for you. You've got to do it for yourself. What? You've got to repent. And that's how we did it when we came to Christ. We came in, and that's what we did. We repented of our sins. Our lives changed. People made fun of us and they still make fun of us, but our lives changed. We don't act the same way that we used to act. We don't live the same way that we used to live. And I can't help it if it condemns this ungodly world. I'm just living according to the law and the prophets. I've repented of my sins. I've been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of my sins. I've received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. And I believe that there is still a promise today that is yet going forth. As people say, what must I do? The answer is yet the same. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sin. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words do I testify and exhort, say, save yourself from this untoward generation. This has got to be actual. It can't be just an act. It cannot be just a facade. It cannot be just a robe that you put on Sunday morning or Sunday night and decide to be religious while every other day you're not religious. Amen. This has got to be actual. Praise God. It's got to be actual. Hallelujah. These altars are open here this morning for whosoever will. I think it'd be good if we find us a place to pray and we say, God, I just want to renew my consecration with you. I just want to let you know, Father, that I'm still in love with you. I want you to know, God, that I still believe this way. Yes. I still believe it is the way. I still believe it's the right way. This is the way of the law and of the prophets. And after the way which the world has defined and called now heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers. Praise God. It's still the right way. It's still the right way. Thank you, Jesus.